Hey there, welcome to your Pokemon Scarlet and Violet multiplayer deep dive. So you want to squad up with friends in Paldea. But you've heard some, I don't know, kind of wild rumors about what you actually can or can't do together.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of misinformation floating around out there.
Right, like enough to make a Gardevoir facepalm, am I right? But luckily for you, we found this awesome article. It's on Tap and Earn, and it's by this gamer who goes by Harry. And let me tell you, this dude's basically got a PhD in Scarlet and Violet multiplayer.
I mean, it's incredibly thorough.
Oh yeah, he's been testing everything hands-on.
Really dives deep into the mechanics. I'm really eager to dig into some of his findings.
Me too. Especially because he busts some myths wide open.
Yes.
But first, let's start with the basics. How do you even connect with your friends in the game?
Well, you've got your two options, local or online.
Good old local play.
Yeah, no internet required, just like the good old days of battling on the couch.
Bless that. No more stressing about Wi-Fi when a friend's over.
Exactly.
Okay, but for online play, you're using the Union Circle, and one thing that stood out to me in the article is that the host has all the power.
Oh, for sure. A stable connection for the host is absolutely crucial.
Makes sense.
Think about it like any other online game, you know? Lag can ruin everything.
Oh, 100%.
Lost progress, lost items. Nobody wants to deal with that.
Nobody. Okay, speaking of game changers, though, remember all that talk about version-exclusive Pokemon? Like, we all thought you were stuck having to trade to complete the Pokedex.
Right, like you had to.
Yeah.
Turns out, not at all. This is one of the things that blew my mind in the article. It's not tied to the game world itself, but the players in it. So if you've got a friend with the opposite version, boom, their exclusives just appear for you.
Wait, are you serious? Yeah. So like, I could be playing my Scarlet version, my friend comes over with their Violet version, and suddenly I've got Larvitar encounters happening.
Exactly. Harry, he even saw a Larvitar and Bagon right next to each other, and those are version exclusives.
No way.
And it held true in different areas too, like the desert. He saw a Stonejourner when playing with someone with the other version.
So you're saying one play session with a friend and you could kiss trading for exclusives goodbye.
Pretty much, yeah.
That is huge. No more back and forth grinding just to catch them all.
Right.
Talk about a time saver.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about actually like moving around in multiplayer? Are we like glued to the host's hip, or can we actually go off and explore freely?
You actually have a surprising amount of freedom.
Oh, really?
While you'll initially spawn in the same spot, you can wander off in completely different directions.
So, like, I could be battling a gym leader while my friend is off catching Pokemon on the other side of the map.
Exactly. But there is a catch.
Uh-oh.
Pay attention to your mini-map.
Okay.
It shows your friend's location, but if you get too far apart, their icon might disappear.
Oh, no. Panic attack time. Where'd you go? Did we disconnect?
Not necessarily. The connection itself should be fine, even if the icon vanishes temporarily.
Mm.
But it does highlight the need for, like, good communication in-game.
Yeah, that makes sense. Otherwise, you're just, like, shouting into the void, like, are you seeing this shiny Pokemon right now, or am I hallucinating?
Speaking of shiny Pokemon, that's where things get really interesting. Oh boy, here we go. The question that sparks more arguments online than a team star base. Can you or can you not catch shiny Pokemon in another player's game?
Get ready for a roller coaster, because the answer is yes.
Okay.
But with a catch.
There's always a catch.
There's always a catch, right? It's not a free-for-all. If a shiny appears, it's a race. Whoever initiates the battle first wins the prize.
So you could technically, like, snipe your friend's shiny.
Technically? Absolutely. Harry even tells a story about this, about how he was playing with his friend and a shiny spawned for his friend, but before he could even react, his friend had already started the battle.
Ouch. That is savage.
Talk about heartbreaking.
I'm getting some serious frenemies vibes here. Like,
right. It definitely adds a whole new layer of strategy and potential betrayal to multiplayer shiny hunting.
Oh, for sure. Choose your partners wisely. That's all I'm saying.
Choose your partners wisely.
Okay. Okay. Enough with the cutthroat shiny shenanigans for a second. Let's talk about something a little more wholesome, a little more my speed. Picnics. Who doesn't love a good old Pokemon picnic?
Right, right. The best.
But like, when you're picnicking with your pals, who's really calling the shots?
So this is another one where it comes down to the host.
So the power dynamic continues.
They are the real picnic MVP.
Even when it comes to sandwiches.
Especially when it comes to sandwiches. So anyone can join a picnic, right?
Right.
But only the host's Pokemon get to, like, chill out and enjoy the spread.
Okay.
And get this, the type of sandwich the host makes actually creates these encounter power boosts for everyone nearby.
Hold up. Are you telling me that if I like whip up a mean cheese and tickle sandwich. My specialty, by the way, and my friend is, I don't know, hunting for like electric types.
Boom! Suddenly, electric Pokemon are drawn to the picnic like moths to a light bulb, all thanks to your masterful sandwich crafting.
This changes everything.
Right.
Forget shiny sniping. I'm going to be the most popular picnic host in all of Paldea.
Exactly.
Just imagine the possibilities. You could like coordinate with your friends, strategize the perfect sandwich for the Pokemon you're hunting.
It adds a whole other layer of cooperation to the game.
Right.
A high-level player with some really awesome sandwich recipes, suddenly they're everybody's new best friend.
Right. Hey, you want a bite of my sandwich? It's got a side of increased shiny odds. Okay, this is blowing my mind. But what about the main story, though? Can we actually play through the story together, or is it still kind of a solo adventure?
It's a little bit of both, actually.
Okay.
So you can both progress through the story at the same time, but it's not truly cooperative, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Imagine it's like you're reading a choose-your-own-adventure book together, but each of you is making your own choices.
So, like, I could be battling Team Star while my friend's off challenging a gym leader.
Exactly.
No more waiting around for someone to catch up.
Exactly. So everyone progresses at their own pace, but you still get to share that experience of being in the world together.
I like that.
The article even mentions, like, one player was in a gym battle and the other player was in a rematch, and on their screen, the gym was empty.
Whoa, that's so weird. So it's less, let's play the story together, and more, let's have our own adventures together.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, that kind of sounds kind of perfect for avoiding those hurry up on board moments.
Exactly. Speaking of adventures, though.
Yes.
What about those massive outbreaks and terror raid battles?
Oh, yeah. Those are like Pokemon staples. How do those work in multiplayer?
So mass outbreaks work similarly to version exclusives.
Okay.
They're tied to the host.
Okay.
So if you join a friend's game and they've got like a Pikachu outbreak happening.
Pikachu everywhere.
It's a shared hunting ground.
Okay. But what about shiny hunting rules?
Those still apply.
Of course, there's always a chance for a little friendly competition.
Always, yeah.
Okay, now what about terror raids, though? Those are usually pretty intense.
So with terror raids, only the host player can initiate the battle. However, once they do, everyone nearby gets an invitation to join in.
No more frantic phone calls like, dude, get over here. There's a 5-star raid. I like it.
Right.
So much easier.
It definitely streamlines things.
It really does.
Plus, after the battle's over, everyone gets transported back to where they were before the raid even started.
Oh, that's good to know.
Convenient, right.
Super convenient. Speaking of convenient, remember how we were talking about breeding? Like, perfect IV Pokemon before.
Yes.
Buckle up because this article drops a bombshell.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Hit me with it.
You ready for this?
Mm.
You can breed Pokemon together during picnics.
What? Are you serious?
Dead serious. Both players can contribute to the breeding process.
Wow.
And then you check the picnic basket for eggs.
No way.
It's like a Pokemon potluck, but instead of snacks, you're sharing adorable baby Pokemon.
That is incredible. It's like a whole other level of like teamwork and collaboration.
Right. And imagine the possibilities for like finding those rare egg moves or breeding for those perfect stats. It's a game changer for sure. So I don't know about you, but after diving deep into all of this, I'm seeing Pokemon Scarlet and Violet's multiplayer in a whole new light. This giant Pokemon party.
It really is.
You got your exploration, your teamwork, maybe even a little friendly competition sprinkled in there. There's honestly something for everyone.
There really is. I feel like they really outdid themselves this time around. I'm especially impressed by how much depth they added with all these host-specific mechanics.
Right. Like we were just talking about, the host's choices, they have a real impact on the whole multiplayer experience. From like what version exclusives you see to those sandwich boosts.
Right. Who knew a simple picnic could hold so much power. It's like you become this Pokemon chef, like whipping up culinary masterpieces that not only attract those rare Pokemon, but they also boost everyone's chances of finding that perfect shiny.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm already like brainstorming sandwich combinations for every single type. Though it does kind of make you wonder, with so much potential for collaboration, are there like unspoken rules of, I don't know, like etiquette that we should be following? Ooh, that's a good point. Like, what happens if you and a friend are both, like, grinding for the same shiny Pokemon, and one of you stumbles across it first?
Yeah.
You know, Like, do you go for it, or is there this silent agreement to give the other person a chance?
Right. Especially with, like, shiny hunting and breeding, there's, like, this level of trust involved.
Right, totally. Like, hey, I know you're trying to breed that perfect Ivy Charizard, but this egg just popped up in my basket. Finders keepers.
Exactly.
Maybe we need, like, a Pokemon multiplayer handbook, you know?
Yeah.
With guidelines for navigating these, like, potentially tricky situations.
Or at the very least, just like a pre-game chat where everyone can, you know, lay down some ground rules like, okay guys, just to be clear, I get first dibs on any shiny Fuecocos we find. It's my white whale.
Yes, exactly. It's all fun and games until somebody snags your dream Pokemon.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, that about wraps up our Pokemon Scarlet and Violet multiplayer deep dive. Huge shout out to Harry over at Tap and Earn for the awesome article. We'll be sure to drop a link in the show notes so you can check it out for yourselves.
Definitely worth a read for any Pokemon fan.
And hey, listeners, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Pokemon multiplayer etiquette? What are your biggest wins, your funniest fails, or even those like, wait, you can do that, moments?
Yeah.
Hit us up on social media and let's chat. Until next time, happy gaming.